Washington. Hello again from the nation's capital. I'm Greg Corumbus. In this edition, Obama and the economy. New Jersey Congressman Scott Garrett is with us to examine the Obama administration's push for putting caps on executive pay in the private sector. We'll get his reaction to that. Reports of pressure for Bank of America to take over Merrill Lynch when it was collapsing in 2008, and his thoughts on the ongoing health care debate. Also in this edition, the congressional flap over detainee interrogation photos. We'll talk with Texas Congressman Mike Conaway, who is leading the effort in the House of Representatives to make sure those photos stay classified and don't endanger our troops stationed around the world. But will Congress actually step up and keep those pictures classified? Plus, it's just a sham. Ali Reza Jafarzadeh, the former spokesman for the Iranian parliament in exile, is with us to explain that it doesn't really matter who wins the Iranian presidential election because everyone on the ballot is marching in lockstep to the wishes of the radical clerics. And get ready to open your wallet. Amy Menefee of Patients United Now is with us to explain how Democrats are expecting to tax you at least $600 billion to pay for their brand of health care reform. All that, plus our top news at week's end, is straight ahead on Dateline Washington. We begin with Obama on the economy, and we begin right now. My first guest in this edition is New Jersey Congressman Scott Garrett, a Republican representing the Garden State's 5th Congressional District. He's also a member of the critical House Financial Services and Budget Committees. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Always good to be with you.
Lots of financial issues in the news this week. Let's start with the latest efforts of the Obama administration to try and create some parameters for executive pay in the private sector, focusing primarily on companies that received assistance from the TARP funds, also known as taxpayer funds. What do you make of the tinkering in terms of how much executives ought to make?
Well, obviously what they're doing nowadays is even more than tinkering. They have fired CEOs of major corporations. We see from the Fed there are threats or pressures being made on major banks. And now they're saying they want to go even beyond just those institutions that may have received some government handouts, but to all across the entire industry and say that financial markets, that anyone that is in business on the trades on the stock exchange or what have you, any public company, would be subject to whatever the federal government says you can make or you can't make.
Why do they want to do this?
Well, one of the arguments is that pay scales are systemic risks, and they're sort of using the threat of another doomsday situation of another systemic risk occurrence occurring that they can come in and have a legitimacy to regulate every aspect of the marketplace. A lot of us, and economists as well, say that just the amount of money that you pay somebody, it may seem extreme or large to you and I, but it is not a factor in the systemic meltdown of the marketplace.
Explain on that a little bit more, because for the most part, it seems as though the firms that got into a whole lot of trouble were linked, of course, to the mortgage crisis and other problems. Was executive pay or even lavish expenses really a root cause of what we saw on Wall Street?
Not really. I mean, again, some of these pays are beyond my imagination that these people make, and some of them you have to scratch your head and wonder why it is that somebody who is on top of running a corporation that at the end of the day either goes belly up or doesn't make any money or loses a large amount of money, why their shareholders would condone that individual getting paid so much. But there it is. You know, it's the shareholders who actually have it. Final say in the word, if they don't support that company, they'll sell their stock. That company will go out of business or do bad. So there is a mechanism in place in the free markets that tries to address this issue, and the government should not be meddling in it as it has.
We learned this week, Congressman, that about 10 of the banks receiving TARP money have been, quote-unquote, given permission to pay that money back, which is essentially, of course, taxpayer money. And it was promised that taxpayers might actually get a return on that investment when President Bush pitched the TARP plan last year. What do you make of that terminology, and how optimistic are you that we're going to see that all that money come back?
Well, a couple of questions there. First of all, the fact that they are able to finally be allowed to return the money is a good thing, although you have to wonder why it is the administration held on so long and said, no, we don't want our money back so we can pay back the taxpayers. I wrote, along with about 30 or 40 of my colleagues, a letter to Geithner and the administration saying months ago, let them return the money if they want to return the money. Finally, this administration has said, fine. Now, secondly, as far as getting the money back and with interest, well, that's a good thing. But Again, we should never have been in this in the position we're in right now in the first place. And that's why we rolled out a package the other day of drawing a line in the sand, no more bailouts, no more government interference, no more of the government picking winners and losers. We have to end this practice and get back to a free market capitalist system again.
Another story we saw this week, Congressman, is that the Fed, back last year, Ben Bernanke in particular, as well as the then Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson, essentially giving the Bank of America a lot of pressure to go through on its buyout of Merrill Lynch, even though the situation was not looking very good from Bank of America's perspective. Bank of America executives have come out and said, no, that really wasn't the case. What do you know about that, and how concerned are you about what you've learned this week?
Well, what we learned is maybe they didn't say that it wasn't the case. They were saying that, no, that's not what made us make the decision to go ahead with the deal. But I guess you'll never know exactly what was going through somebody's mind. But the evidence that's turning up is quite troublesome. Here you have a opaque, non-transparent, non-elected body in the Fed making these, putting pressure on a private institution, one that at that point in time did not have, you know, was not under government control like we have today. And you wonder if they can do it there, can they do it someplace else? When will that practice of the government literally threatening companies to either do what we say or else come to an end? And maybe that's a good question to put to the Treasury Secretary and the Chairman of the Federal Reserve.
We're talking with New Jersey Congressman Scott Garrett, member of the Financial Services, as well as the Budget Committee. And Congressman, I know that you are coming out with legislation. You referred to it just a moment ago, focusing on regulatory reform. Explain what that's all about.
Yeah, and it does exactly what I was saying before. Our principle is no more bailouts, no more picking winners and losers, restore market integrity. And we do it in a number of ways. One, instead of a bailout czar like Obama wants it to have, we say let's have wind-down authority through the bankruptcy code and let that be the way that you have bad companies go out of business, no longer putting the taxpayer on hook. Secondly, with the Federal Reserve, no longer should we have the Federal Reserve going in like it did this time and pick companies that they want to prop up and help out. That should end. Secondly, end the bailouts. Thirdly, end the ability of the Fed to act unilaterally without any oversight by Congress or the Treasury. Congress and the Treasury should have a significant role in the saying of what the Fed does when they use taxpayer dollars and puts us on the hook. So it's a number of initiatives, plus consumer protection, more oversight, all things to restore market integrity, essentially.
The argument, of course, at the time of TARP was that this had to be done, and it had to be done soon, and it had to be huge, and that was kind of the argument for the stimulus package as well. One of the things we're starting to see, Congressman, is the American public in recent opinion polls getting a little bit of fatigue with excessive spending and excessive deficits. They're clearly not happy with the government's role in these auto bankruptcies, especially the latest one with General Motors. What do you make of that discontent, and are you feeling the same thing back in your district?
Well, we absolutely heard it. We've heard it for months now, back when the stimulus was going through, $800 billion that was supposed to bring down unemployment. Now we saw about a month ago when the CBO, Congressional Budget Office, came out with their numbers, we showed that the administration was wrong on all fronts. Remember, the administration said if we did nothing, unemployment would go to here, and if we did a stimulus, it would be less. Well, now we find out that unemployment has gone higher than even their projections if we had done nothing. In other words, we have spent $800 billion, and we're in a worse situation than had we done absolutely nothing under the Obama administration's projections.
Do you get the sense that the administration is learning this lesson in terms of all this spending and at least at this point, not much result, and that the American people perhaps aren't going to stay very patient on that front?
I think the administration is learning how to put a good spin on their past actions, and that's why they came out with the absurd idea about a month ago, saying they're going to try to rein in spending by saving $100 million when you're talking about $1.6 or $7 trillion in red ink. It's just a drop in the bucket. So it's all talking points. It's all spin on their part. All they're learning is trying to massage a bad situation with better rhetoric. And, of course, that's not what the American public is looking for.
Congressman, you mentioned that so far the unemployment rate is worse than the projections had we done nothing in terms of a stimulus package. Now the president says he wants to accelerate the spending of the stimulus money and create 600,000 jobs over the next three plus months. How optimistic are you that that's going to work?
Well, the numbers just can't hold up, and we're still waiting to see what their last projections on where the jobs are going to come from. Remember, all they've been saying all along is we're either going to create or save X number of jobs. They've never been able to answer the question, how do you define whether you saved a job? And that's what will be the situation here. They'll say, yes, we saved 300,000 or 3 million or 30 million jobs. How do you know whether it was that or something else? What we do know is that they've been wrong in the past. Unemployment's going up, and $800 billion has been spent, and the taxpayer, you and I, have to foot the bill for it all.
And, of course, now heading into our last couple minutes here, Congressman, the big debate seems to be up next, health care. That's another huge portion of the president's proposed budget. He, of course, says that that's going to be a way to save money because you cut out the waste of the current national health care system. How accurate is that projection?
Well, there again, you have to just scratch your head and wonder what sort of logic they use when they say we're going to save you money by spending $640 billion more money. We're going to save you money by raising taxes on everyone by around either $1,000, $2,000, or $3,000 per household. That's the logic that they're using. You're saving money by spending more money. I think just as you indicated before, the American public is aggravated, outraged by all the spending that's already gone on with the stimulus. Once the true facts of their health care reform gets out to the American public, there'll be an outcry against that. They do not want, American public doesn't want national health care, does not want the government dictating who they can see, when they can see them. They do not want rationing of health care, and that's all going to come from the Obama administration's health care plan so far.
Last 15 seconds, do you have the votes to stop it?
In the House, we certainly can raise a issue, but we don't have the votes in the House, and we'll still have to see whether we have the votes in the Senate.
We'll keep track of it, of course. Congressman, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
New Jersey Congressman Scott Garrett represents his state's 5th Congressional District, sits on both the House Financial Services and Budget Committees. This is Dateline Washington.